1-1 and I want to pick you two. My name is Pat Bande, the chairperson of this committee. And before I comment anything, I would suggest that maybe we introduce ourselves, but also to indicate once more, we might know each other, some of us, but I think it is very much important because time and again, like from our side, from the members, same people that will be there, but from your side, you know very well in the department, but that from the different entities, we are having different names of people as well in the different sections. So it's very much important to familiarize ourselves before we start with the meeting. I'll start from the members first. As I indicated, as I've already done from my side, I'm also from Mpumalanga province. How about you?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Herman Groenewald, member of this committee and representing the Northwest province.
Dumelang, nna ke nna mme Priscilla Themba, representing Mpumalanga, leloko la komiti.
Good morning, I'm Pepo Makane, I'm from the research unit.
Good morning, Pilot Kwebo from committee section.
Good morning, I'm Jan Maritsen from the National Department of Human Settlements.
Good morning, I'm Morrison Gomezulu from the National Department of Human Settlements.
Good morning, I'm Felicia Ngongo from Human Settlements National.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Funani Masati from the National Department of Human Settlements. Chair must upfrontly indicate the Director General's apology. He is on his way. I think he got delayed somewhere and the COO is here. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Nili Lakaba. I'm the Deputy Director General.
Good morning, Uwe Kruida from the National Treasury.
Good morning, Chair and the Committee. Manda Club, Department of Human Settlements.
Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Sean Solomon from the National Department of Human Settlements. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Quinton Mokai. I'm from the Parliament Committee Section.
May you please repeat and move your user minds? Because we are recording.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Quinton Mokai. I work for Parliament Committee Section. Thank you.
Good morning, Neville Cheney from the Department of Human Settlements. Apologies for the DG, Chair.
Chief, at the back, you can introduce yourself. Use the mic, please.
Siyabulela Mbawuli from the Parliamentary Munching Group.
Okay. All right. What I wanted you to say before we start with the comments with this meeting. Also from our side, normally I prefer to be punctual. When always we complain about punctuality. But from our side, from the member side, will you please pardon us? Because we are a small team in this institution. We've been in a certain meeting this morning in the strat plan because we are preparing for next week as we are going to have some budget debates. That's why we started a little bit later. I think our apology is taken. Also, I've noted from your side, you also apologize for the DG. I think it's on his way. I think that one is taken because coincidental report again. We are very strict about the senior officials to be present. It's worse if towards this era of time when it's short budget rules. But luckily,
members, I think we have done with the human segment. So we're lucky, but we encourage that.
Hello, that's not you. I'm one at all.
Yes. Yes, thanks, ma'am. We are very strict, but not, it's not us. It's the setup of the institution that we must make sure that this setup is functional. Colleague, when you, because you are just coming in now, may you please introduce yourself? Before that, I wanted to correct something. My colleagues Wami, Utsepo Nolo. Utsepo is the secretary of
the research.
Utsepo is a researcher of this select committee. He's not from the from the committee site. From the research unit. You're not from this research unit. You are a researcher for this committee. I wanted to put it straight so that you know to keep the record straight. Not from the research unit, but the researcher of this committee. Ubaba Celenguano Pilot is a secretary for this committee. Not from the research unit. Not from the committee section. Because this institution is very big. Once you change your language a bit, it reflects something else. And Ubaba, all those introduce a man, I think you'll take it from there.
Chair, I'm not certain where I'm from now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm late, Chair. My apologies to everyone. Good morning. Show Aid the Nation Committee Section Parliament. Correct me, Chair.
No, you know yourself.
From committee section, this committee. Correct it, ma'am.
Thank you. Mr. Dennison is the content advisor for this committee. You are not from committee section. You know what? I think the chairperson has said we must actually say the things the way they are. Because if something goes on somewhere, it will be from the committee section, not from this committee. So we must say, yeah, content advisor.
Thank you, Chair. No, Mama, thank you very much for that. No, we are assigned, we're from the committee section and assigned to the Select Committee on Public Services. We do get borrowed out, and I think that's what sometimes happens, and that's what Chair and Mama Tembo want us to just correct and speak to. Thanks for that.
Okay. Let's go for the business of the day. I think that is taken. But for the sake of records, because we are recording whatever we're doing in terms of the law. The business of the day is a briefing on the report. Where is it? Yes, on the report and financial statement of the Servcon Housing Solution for 2009-2010, including the report of the independent auditors on the financial statement and performance information for 2009-2010. I will start with item one. The other item will come as the time goes on. Over to you, Department.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, in respect of the request, we have got with us the CFO for Servcon, Michael Rangungu. Lindikaya Mpambani, the chairperson, I mean the CEO, has tendered an apology.
He might arrive,
but I just wanted to indicate that he is on his way. Chair, the Servcon is an entity of the department, and in terms of the processes and agreements, the mandate of CERFCON in relation to the program that it had operated was completed during the course of September 2008, and then there was a decision, a ministerial decision taken to close the institution. What I will do is I will hand over to Mike, the CFO, to take us through the presentation based on the piece that has been given. Thanks, Chair. Michael.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chen. Thank you, Chair. If I stumble, forgive me. It's not often that I present to the honorable members of parliament. Thank you. CERFCON has stopped operating in September 2009, as Mr. Chen has indicated. And since we stopped operating in 2009, we started with the process of closure through and following various legislation, including the Treasury legislation and Companies Act and so on and so on. And to date, most of the mandate that CERFCON was executing has already been has stopped to date. And the main activity that we are still executing is the original mandate of which was enacted by the Act of Parliament in 1995 of what you call the in-situ portfolio. That is the mandate that we are currently finalizing, and if it's not finalized by the time of CERFCON final closure, will be handed over to the department. And the structure of the presentation will be as follows. Number one, I will elaborate on the audit opinion and the emphasis of the of matters as raised by the auditors. And number three will be the annual financial statement or the audited annual financial statement. And number four will be the performance information and the original portfolio mandate or management and the treasury report. The audit opinion, our audit opinion for the year ended 31st March 2010 wasn't clean audit opinion. It was an unqualified audit opinion. And there were six matters that were raised in the management letter, of which were subsequently addressed in the following year. The year ended 31st March 2011. So as I indicated, we had an unqualified audit opinion since 1996 and to the date of this annual report. And the matters that were emphasized by the auditors in the annual report was a going concern aspect and also a prior period error. The going concern aspect was to say that the auditors noted the minister's instruction to the board of CERFCON directors to close the company. And it's a standard practice. The auditors are mandated to ensure that on the annual report they do indicate the going concern of the company, whether it is still a going concern or is a company that is under liquidation, or is a company that is going to operate in the foreseeable future. So under the current instance, CERFCON was not an entity that was going to operate in the foreseeable future. So as indicated by or guided by audit standards and the Treasury regulations, a company that is going to stop operating has to indicate such in the annual report. And that's why the auditors indicated the matter in their audit opinion and as part of emphasis of matters, just to alert the users to say CERFCON is in the process of closure. And the second matter of emphasis raised by the auditors was a prior period error. CEFCON was declared by SARS as a state-owned entity that was required to declare and pay income tax. And so as such, in the prior years, the income tax was not disclosed in the annual report as it was not declared in our annual report. So it's only after this declaration by SARS then that we started to declare or disclose the income tax expense as such. So as part of the audit expectations, if there were such errors, they had to be disclosed in the annual report to say the previous financial year statements were in other way understated, or this material aspect was not disclosed because the declaration from SARS was not, we didn't have the declaration from SARS to say we are a tax-paying entity at that time. So it had to be disclosed as such. And our performance information, we had two main mandates. We had the original portfolio management mandate, which is institute mandate. It's the original mandate that we had when CEFCON started operating. And we subsequently had other mandates where we were assisting the provinces to normalize some of their low-cost houses and on other aspects as well. So on the original mandate, we had over a period of 13 years, 33,276 properties were successfully resolved or normalized, leaving only 61 to be finalized, which is still outstanding today. Should the same of the 61 properties remain outstanding at the time of CEFCON's deregistration, and the same shall be transferred to National Human Settlement Department for management at that level. So that means if at the time of CEFCON closure, these 61 properties are still not yet finalized or transferred to the rightful owners, then such management will be transferred to the shareholder, which is our National Department of Human Settlement. And those properties that are still outstanding are here, detailed per province and also per the bank that was responsible at the time. At Eastern Cape, we have a total of one property, which was property in possession of Nedbank. KZN, we had four properties, one for Nedbank and three from Sambo or FNB. Free State, we have two properties, which were all from FNB or Sambo. Gauteng, we have 42 properties outstanding, and 23 from Nedbank, and 17 from Sambo or FNB. Western Cape, we have 12 properties, and all 12 from Nedbank. In total, we have 61 properties that are still to be finalized from all provinces. And 37 of those are from Nedbank, and 22 from Sambo FNB, and 2 from Nedbank. So our provincial normalization program, we had a normalization program with Gauteng Province and Eastern Cape Province through the Department of Housing, or their provincial Department of Housing. In the year under review, the number of properties visited to determine the ownership, the number of low-cost houses that were supposed to be visited to determine the ownership. The target was zero, but we managed to visit 9,580. But that was due to the fact that CEFCON was in the process of closure, and the prior year, we thought the closure will happen earlier, and that is why there was no target for that activity. But nevertheless, there was an arrangement with the department that we go and visit this property and verify the ownership, and we managed to do 9,580. And the number of houses rectified. So number of houses rectified, once you visit the houses, you do the structural assessment. And on the structural assessment, then you determine the level of structural defects. So those structural defects then has to be rectified. So the number of houses that were, the target that we had to rectify was 1,800. And then we actually rectified 34,608. And once the ownership is determined, you'll find that some of the properties were owned by, as much as they were occupied by the rightful occupants. You find that the title deed is in the name of the municipality, some is in the name of the developer, some is in the name of the wrong person is occupying the wrong property. Such had to be normalized. But the number of properties revisited for regularization, that means to normalize that irregular. We had a target of 80,000, and of that target, we only visited 12,097. And the number of properties actually regularized, we had a target of 120,000. But the actual regularization didn't happen due to company closure. So that means regularization, or as some we call it, normalization, is to ensure that the rightful owner of the occupant is the rightful owner or beneficiary of the house that he occupied or she occupied. That was in Gauteng province, Department of Housing. The Eastern Cape, the number of properties visited to determine the ownership, we had a target of zero, but the actual performance was 8,457. And the number of properties visited for regularization or normalization, the target was 33,739, and the actual performance was 23,637. And mainly, the variances in all aspects was due to company closure or the imminent company closure. And the number of properties rectified, the target was 67,876. But we actually rectified nothing. So that is about the performance information. And on the annual financial statements, we have a balance sheet, and our total assets as at the end of 31st March 2010, it was 325,898,683 rand. And of that, we had a property, plant and equipment, our computers and the likes, which was 2,198,255 rand. And other financial assets, the other financial assets in this instance, it refers to the land parcels and buildings that Safcont bought from Transnet, and mainly from Transnet and one from private party, which was 127,025,464 rand. And deferred tax is just in a book entry account, of which it gave rise to the accounting of the income tax. So it came to 4,586,086 rand. Trade in other receivables, which is mainly our debtors from provinces, mainly from provinces, 176,434,948 rand. And prepaid expenses, like your rental, you normally pay in advance and so on, was 283,646 rand. And a cash equivalent, the balance that we had in the bank account, was 13 million 403,284 rand. The total accounts to the overall assets value that we have of 325 million. Our liabilities is 164,480,609 rand, of which it was mainly made of tax payable of 44,540,447 rand. Trade payables, our creditors, our other creditors, which has to correlate with our other trade and other receivables, was 80,176,839 rand. And financial liabilities and provisions, this is mainly the amount that we received in advance from, in particular from Free State, to buy some piece of land on their behalf, which is also accounted in our other financial assets. It amounted to 39,763,323 rand. So our net assets, or our net equity, at that time it was 161,418,074 rand. That was our net equity, on which is assets less our liabilities. That was our balance sheet, some they call it a financial position. And our financial performance or income statement. The revenue for the year generated from April until September 2009 is 194,783,955 rand. Other income, which is mainly the income from the interest we received from the bank and so on and so on, is 2,318,817 rand. And our operating expense is 194,925,863 rand. And then our operating profit, which is the total revenue less our operating expenses, is 2,176,909 rand. And our investment revenue, sorry, this investment revenue is the interest we received from the interest on our investments, like our money market, bank accounts, and so on and so on. And the other income is the income that we received mainly from rental of some of the property, some of the business that we bought, and so on and so on. My apology for confusing the two. And the finance cost, which is the interest that we paid, or the interest that accrued, is 5,039,899 rand. And profit before tax was 151,457 rand. And tax expense for the year is 1,256,506 rand, and loss for the year is 1,105,59 rand. So that is about the financial performance, or the income statement, and the status of self-conclusion. As indicated above, we stopped operating in September 2009, and we remain in position of land parcels and one building, which will be sold to public through competitive bids, as guided by treasury regulations. And since end of November 2009, we no longer resides in Joburg, but now we reside in Pretoria. We are using the same premises with our shareholder, the National Department of Women Settlements, since the 1st of December 2011. That was to minimize the expenses of rentals and the likes. And we continue to receive the queries and complaints from communities who either were never part of the original mandate or if they were in the portfolio, they were rehabilitated and then taken off on the portfolio. So that means this complainant is either they are part or they are not part of the original mandate. But some cases were resolved, and but due to various reasons, some of the original beneficiaries has passed on and so on and so on. Some divorced and so on and so on. You find many complex instances following through that. And that is why we are saying that if the possibility that this mandate will have to be transferred to the shareholder after the closure of Safcon. And we still have around 300 studies that need to be handed over to the beneficiaries. And we are awaiting our conversors to complete the process. And once our liabilities are settled, we'll then follow the PFMA guidelines to delist the entity from the treasury and apply to court through the minister to liquidate the company. Then we will deregister Safcon with companies and intellectual property commission. Yeah, basically, once the liabilities are settled, we will be in the position to speedily close the company, and whatever outstanding issue, which we don't foresee any except on the original mandate, will be transferred to our shareholder. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure if there's any additions from Ulrika or the CFO, but we'll take questions if there aren't any additions. Thank you, Chair.
No addition. Okay, honorable members, that is a short report. But what I normally use, what I like, I used to give opportunity to members, and I decide to be the last person. But I wanted to comment something before I give to the members. See, sometimes it's worrying. For how long have you received this information that you must come and present here? You know what? Sometimes that's weekend, fine. But you must be prepared to give it for two NCOP. No cut and piece. Because to me, this information is very relevant, but it's for NA. I'll indicate, I'll show why I'm saying that. In terms of our line function, which is an NCOP. And also our love, and I would like that the department must guide you when you come to present to us. Because, you know, it's very much important to equip us in order in return. For an example, I'll put an example. You know what happened in the past? We discovered that, in some departments, there were a lot of properties which were not known, which were hiding somewhere. Because, for example, you spoke about target deeds, which are still in the hands of wrong people, which are still in the hands of, developers, of municipalities and the like. That is an example, of which we are still waiting for some answers. But let me give two members. I was just commenting that, please, prepare yourself to come to NCOP, not to any members. I'll come again. I was just hinting for you. Before I start to open for them, before I read anything, just from the things which you just presenting. Members, over to you. Mama Temba, followed by Ubaba Uhuru University.
Thank you, Chair. I thought, Chair, you saw the lady there and the gentleman when you said any additions. I thought maybe they will raise their hands because they've been sharing something there that I think it's important that we also hear what is it, because they were looking at the presentation and they were discussing there and the other one shook in the head. So if we can, because I think that will also assist us. I'm not done, Chair. I think they will when you ask them. But if we can hear from certain, what led to the cessation of the operation? Why? Why did this stop? And your last comment on the people, the community. I think it's important when anything happens, then you inform the people, the relevant people. So maybe if you can explain, why did you decide not to inform the community? Because if you did inform them, they were not going to ask you questions, you know. There's a slide that I think you ended with that slide, that the communities are still, I think you are aware of the slide. And then the properties that are now with NetBank, or let's say with the banks, what's going to happen? Are they going to, is the banks going to work hand in hand with the Department of Human Settlement, or what is going to happen? And on the provinces that, like for example, Mpumalanga showed not 00, did you decide not to operate in those provinces, or what happened? Thank you.
Over to Mr. Kumbach.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Yes, I want to know, in the outstanding portfolios, you only mentioned the six provinces there. What about the other three? Were there no such things happened in that provinces? I just want to know, especially my province, the Northwest province, is not included there, and that is why I'm asking the question. It's just for interesting, I want to know what is going on in the other provinces. Why were the properties not being transferred to the right owners from the beginning? You said that some of the properties is still in the hands of the developers and all that kind of thing. I want to know, isn't it that this is the place where fraud can take place? When the title deed is not handed over to the rightful beneficiaries. I think that makes space for fraud to take place in that situation. Then you mentioned about financial assets. You mentioned here and there what it is, but can you elaborate more about the financial assets, because it's 127 million rand. What is it exactly? What is the reason for the loss of 1.5 million rand? Can we make a loss out of this whole situation? I want to know, because I'm not very on top of what is going on here. The 300 title deeds. What process must be completed before we can hand it over to the beneficiaries? You see, there's still 300 outstanding, plus minus 300. I want to know, what is the process that must be completed in regarding to this, so that the beneficiaries can get the title deeds? Thank you, Chief.
Okay.
Can I ask if they have the annual report for us? Because, you know, if you are looking at this presentation, usually it is good if you have a presentation like this and you have the annual report, and you are able to, like, you know, get the whole information. Thanks. Actually, we don't have to ask for it. It must be given to us before we can even ask.
Okay. May I please comment for us about the audit opinion, that what was the difference, because now you spoke of drugs since inception in 1996, the opinion, the audit opinion was unqualified since 1996, Mr. Ken, and now it's qualified. Where was the problem? Because you see, what I believe, most of the time the audit opinion depends on the findings of complying most of the time with the PFMA and also etc. in terms of the guidelines. And then if you can assist us, you see, somewhere in your slides, because unfortunately the slides, I don't think that they do have some emphasis of the matters. You said the SARS, some information was declared by SARS. Do you have, do you have internal measures? Why this thing was picked up by SARS while there are internal measures? What were you doing? You see, again, you spoke about, the only page which you nearly hinted the issue of the provinces was the page where you dealt about these six provinces, about the performance of all the outstanding portfolios. The rest, that's why I was saying, there's nothing about provinces. Just speaking broad, and you see, sometimes our people, when they put some of the things, they put in an intellectual way, that it must be understood by you alone, not other people. You see, I'll put an example, I'll repeat what I've said earlier on. Help us in order to help you, because that's where we are having a problem, the issue of title deeds. Very serious with us, very sensitive as well. How many people are affected? Because, you know, why I'm raising this thing? To me, there is a contradiction, just a small issue. To you, it's normal. You know very well that you are working towards to phase out, but you don't have any target. As you indicated in one of these, you said you didn't have a target, but in terms of the performance results, changed to be 9,500 while you didn't have a target. That's why to me it's a contradiction, because it's very difficult to know exactly that how many things which are still left in your hands. And then also, somewhere you spoke about 120,000 in terms of targets, in terms of number of properties in to be regularization. But tell us exactly how many out of all who are still affected facing the problem. Because I propose before you phase out, you must have proper records which you are going to hand it over. I'd like just to guess, a guesswork. And then also, you spoke about the house that you to be rectified. I think it's nearly linked about the title deeds. May you please clarify us about that information, because it was from your mouth. Then also, you spoke, that is the most sensitive one, about the issue of the land. When you spoke about your annual financial statement, you spoke about other financial assets. You said it's land, including land. Where is that land? Where? So that we can be able to say, to challenge, or to request, to suggest to Human Settlement that Human Settlement, there is a land in such and such and such and such places per province. finding it is very sensitive. Where is that land? You know why I'm raising it? I don't want to open discussion about it, but I'll put an example. It's very disturbing. A few days ago, it was exposed somewhere that in Mpumalanga, a certain farm, which is 414 hectares, was sold for four people in the hands of three people within 4 minutes. What are you going to say if that land, they were doing that while the land belonged to you? Where, that's why it's very much important to clarify as where the issue of the land is. You reported about other assets. And then, again, liabilities. You spoke about other creditors, trade payables. You spoke about three things, about tax payable and trade payables and financial liabilities and provisions. You see, you even make an example of Free State in terms of financial liabilities and provision. What about other provinces? And my problem is that in order to assist even the department, who are the people who are still owing you? Because here we're just giving a scope, as I indicated. It's like addressing a lecture, addressing in the intellectual language, to say people will search for themselves about the answer. No, it doesn't work like that here. And this thing is worrying, and because you indicated that in Free State. I'll put an example. There are provinces who are facing a problem of being put under Section 101B. Sometimes it's their fault, sometimes it's not their fault. It's the fault of the entities who are deployed there in terms of assisting. Sometimes. I don't say any time, but sometimes. May you please tell us exactly where. And then you spoke about, when you continue with the income statement, I was speaking about the balance sheet, some of the things which you indicated. With the financial, with an income, where is my interest then? What I'll request from you, help us as well. You spoke about investment in revenue. You spoke about operating loss, but I'll be specific in that operating loss. You indicated, I couldn't understand, may you please elaborate. You spoke about operating loss and spoke about profit. May you please maybe restructure it and so that we can be taken on board that what do you mean exactly? In one of your slides, you spoke about under the status of closure. I think it's about second slide towards the back. Yeah, before you thank you. It's the second slide before you thank you. There are two issues. I'll read as it is and then I'll come with my question. You said point number one, as indicated above, we have operation at the end of September 2009, and then we said we remain in possession of the land parcels and one building which will be sold to the public through the competitive bids as guided by the treasury regulations. Where is that building? You know, I'm not laughing, just to share with you. We were shocked some time ago, not now, while one of the comrades who's in Joburg now, we were still an MEC for housing. We discovered a lot of buildings which supposed to be under. No, he was an MEC for transport, if I was not mistaken. A lot of departments were supposed to be under the auspices of government. Other people were occupying those buildings. So that will help us. For an example, which is alleged in some buildings there, are we didn't yet start with the issue of auditing with properties which belong to the government. I'll put my case there, I'll come next time. But there was a thing which was Umama commented with it at the corner there. You see, we know very well that he is not at school where we're supposed to be so serious. But to us, we are very sensitive. If anybody is presenting, when we start, we look at you, and then we expect you to share with us, because we have an interest. The reason why we call you, why we called you, is because we are having an interest. So you are allowed to add or subtract if you do have any information, because it might happen that you do have any information. Help us, Chief, then. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair.
Before
Michael, I just want to add a couple of points, and then the operational issues Michael can address. In relation to Servcon, members will remember that Servcon was a post-94 entity in terms of the financial services charter that was set up. And in terms of its mandate was strictly controlled or strictly regulated or within that framework around right-sizing. The decision was taken, it was a ministerial sign-off that Servcon, based on the fact that its right-sizing mandate in terms of the property industry had come to an end. However, during the course of its operations, particularly post 2006-2007, it undertook a number of activities outside of its original mandate, which at that point was discussed and I would assume sanctioned within the framework of the executive authority. So for all intents and purposes, as the national department, we are in the process of closing. In fact, the correct term would be winding down, given the fact that it's a public entity. So we are winding down Servcon. And what we are intending to do as the national department is to ensure that the original mandate responsibilities are fully realized. The point of the exercise is that the mandate or the operations of Servcon are limited to ensuring that the winding down process is finalized, but also that within the finalization of that winding down process, all its mandated issues are closed. So for example, in a province where there are issues related to, for example, title deeds, conveyancing, particularly in the right-sizing profit portfolio, that is closed and that's dealt with. Where it cannot be, the department will assume the responsibility to ensure that that process is completed, because it's a responsibility that we have. So in relation to the 2009-2010 Chair, I mean, the slide that's indicative here of what the outstanding portfolio is, the one that I've put up here. I mean, out of the original, it's on slide 10 of the documentation handed out to you. That's in essence what we need to be able to close down. In the post-2007 process, there were certain properties, there were certain undertakings, and there were certain agreements signed with various provinces. Part of that process was that during that period, Servcon was given the responsibility to negotiate the acquisition of certain properties. And the portfolio that Michael refers to in his presentation is the Transnet profit portfolio. So there was a number of properties that were deemed not core in terms of the Transnet sort of function. And which were deemed suitable for human settlements development, hence the fact that Servcon, on behalf of the department, had what we have indicated, and as part of the winding down process, we as the department are busy facilitating the transfer or the acquisition of that properties by the respective provinces, where suitable for human settlements. Where it's not suitable for human settlements, then it will be dealt with in terms of the relevant treasury regulation. So I just wanted to provide that. Michael, want to, Mike, you know, the, on the more sort of in-depth operational stuff, you might too, and Morrison and Jan, you might want to add on that. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Lambert. Thanks. Before Mike start to open, of course we are fully aware of the issue of winding up, but we were referring to the issues which he raised in his presentation. That's why also in the first time when we opened, the directive which we requested was the focus of 2009 and 2010. I'm just putting the records. We started there, don't have any problem, don't have any qualm of the whatever. But pertaining those remaining information which is supposed to hand it over to you, we wanted it to be done properly. That's why we are focusing on it. Over here to you, sir.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Let me first start by responding to questions directly, as some of the questions directly as imposed. Like the honourable member asked, why is the fund closing? I think my colleague never can elaborate on that to say the subsequent mandate ended. So the other subsequent activities that the subsequent executed, it was outside subsequent mandate, but it was an agreement that was made between Subcon and various provinces. But Subcon's rightful mandate is to right-size property portfolios before 1994, or 1994. And whether the communities have been informed about Subcon closure, there was national newspaper circulation to I think we published on City Press, Sunday Times, and Sunday World. I'm not sure if we did on certain, but I'm sure on the three public national publications, there was that publication to the communities in 2009. And on the questions to say what is going to happen to the properties with the bank, probably before one can respond to this question is to distinguish between the properties that are with the banks and the properties that are outside mandate. The properties that are with the banks, as indicated on the slide here, these are the properties per the original mandate, which is the right size mandate. We had a total of over 33,000 portfolios to right size or to normalize. And of those 33,000, we are only left with around 300 to do the transfers. Which is currently busy, that activity is currently busy with our conveyancers. And of that 300, we have this 61 of the beneficiaries that still need to acknowledge and sign, sign or agree to be part of this portfolio, or to be part of this, to be part of this portfolio. So of the total 33,000, is only 61 that still need to sign and agree to say they agree for government to intervene or to assist them in acquiring the properties that they currently reside in. And this is the portfolio of which, if it's not finalized by the end of self-con closure, my colleague Neville has indicated, this portfolio will be transferred to the department. The department will ensure that this portfolio is properly and rightfully seen to its finality, as intended in the beginning. And on the questions of why do we have selective provinces here, some provinces are not here, at the beginning of the program, we had all nine provinces. It was a national program, so all nine provinces. So the provinces that are not indicated on the slide, that means their issues have been resolved. Their properties have been finalized. It's part of the whole lot that has been properly right-sized or regularized. So there were no issues in such province. Like Mpumalanga here, we are saying is zero, because that means the whole portfolio of Mpumalanga has been transferred. But in the beginning, there were properties from Mpumalanga. They were rightfully transferred. The same with Limpopo, they were rightfully normalized. So Eastern Cape, maybe when we come next time, Eastern Cape won't be on the on this list, because we'll be rightfully right-sized. And that is the original mandate, that the right-sized mandate. But we have other mandates, or we had other activities that we executed beyond the right-sized mandate, which was which arised due to the agreement between ourselves and provinces. That's the issue of the title deeds on the low cost houses and so on and so on. That mandate is the mandate that resides with the provinces, but the provinces seek or request a self control assist in normalizing that program due to self-control's experience and exposure to the normalization program. So after the decision to wind down a self-cons operation, such mandates were adequately or properly transferred back to the provinces. So now our provinces are busy with normalization program and rectification program and ensuring that the beneficiaries and the occupants of those low cost houses are the rightful ones. So that mandate was not left in the limbo. It has been transferred to the provinces, and provinces are currently busy executing that. And on the financial assets, the financial assets comprises of our land parcels and buildings. So the land parcels that we have, we acquired them from Transnet with an intention for human settlement development. And so yes, they are classified currently as at the end of 2010, March 2010 financials, classified as other financial assets. And okay, let me just deal with all the questions that relate to the land parcels, and including the bids and everything else around that. When CEFCON was busy assisting the provinces with the normalization program, it was requested to say we must acquire some of the pieces of land from Transnet that are deemed to be suitable for home settlement. And those properties that were acquired from Transnet is various number of pieces of land and three buildings, of which the intention is to develop this piece of land for human settlement. And On the disposal will happen on the competitive bid as guided by Treasury regulations, but again, on consultation with the various stakeholders, including provinces and all government institutions that are involved in the human settlement projects, to give such institutions the first preference in acquisition of these properties to self-construct. So, yeah. And reason for the loss, the reason why we had a operating loss in a year is not necessarily an operating loss when you look at the financials per se. Okay, the operating loss occurred because of the tax loss that were made during the year. And mainly because we stopped operating in September. So that means for the last 6 years of the financial year, ended 31st March 2010, Servcon didn't generate any form of revenue. And it was a self-funding institution through the services that it was rendering to the provinces. So there was no revenue derived from service rendered from October until March 2010. So that would be the primary reason for the loss. And on the questions raised by the chair on the audit opinions. On the audit opinions, we said since the beginning of Servcon, our financial statement remained unqualified since formation of the company in 1996. That means even to date, on the year under review, we had unqualified audit opinion. So the auditors didn't qualify our financial statements. They only raised two matter of emphasis. First, it was to say, Servcon is no longer a going concern. Servcon is not seen to be operating in the foreseeable future. So because it's no longer a going concern, that has to be reported in their opinion to alert the users of the financial statement, so that it's not assumed that Servcon is continuing to operate under normal circumstances like it did before. So it was just to alert the users to say Servcon is in the process of closure. So whoever is dealing with Servcon was supposed to be alerted through the annual report to say we are in the process of closure. And the issue of SAR and why it was only it was only raised by SAR to say that we are tax-paying entity. It was a consultative process that we had with SARS, our shareholder, national department, and treasury, to say when you look at Servcon's when you look at the substance, when you compare the substance over formation of Servcon, Servcon is supposed to be an tax-exempted entity because, in our view, it's a Section 3A, which is, and as such, it was supposed to be an income-exempted entity. But mainly looking at the substance, the activities that Servcon was executing, they were a public benefiting activities. Whereas the formation of Servcon, unfortunately, is a Pty Ltd, and SARS defined it as such. So this matter took us almost 2 years to finalize, to say, are we a tax-paying entity, are we a tax-exempted entity? And then at the end, SAR said, you are a tax-paying entity because we look at the formation, then we look at the, when you look at the substance over form, then the form will prevail. That means they will look more on the formation of the company than they will look on the substance of the company, the activities, the operations of the company. So then they decided to say we are a paying entity. So because they decided then, for the financial year ended 2010, before it was still pending, we raised it on our contingency to say, not in the face of the financials, but on the contingency, the auditors indicated that CEFCON is busy in consultation with SARS and Treasury in order to determine its tax status. Yeah, I think on the issue of tax, then that will be that. And the issue of targets. The reason why we didn't have targets in the year under review was mainly because we got the approval of our closure plan from the minister somewhere in February 2009, I think, yeah. In February 2009, just before we started with the new financial year that we are currently under review. So it was clear to us then that we have to see it operating. So the only thing that we had to do, it was to finalize the activities that we already committed on. So then that is why when we were preparing, that is why we prepared the revised business plan that has, that didn't have the projections on some of the areas that we didn't have commitment on, but we only committed on the areas that there was an already commitment prior to the minister's instruction to or the approval of the closure plan. I think I covered most, if not all, the questions. But
okay. Any addition? Yes, ma'am.
Can you respond to the honourable member's question about a discussion earlier? And I think it's a formatting issue in how what is presented in the annual report now before you versus how the financials are set out in the presentation, and so it looks slightly different and the numbers look slightly different at face value, but when you go back and you like dig a little deeper, you realize that it's actually the same. And so we were a bit concerned about, you know, what is in the annual report is different to what is in the presentation. Chair, just to add on to what Mike had said, and this is just some background information on how far we've come with CEFCON, is that, you know, CEFCON's initial portfolio was that, and that initial mandate ended in 2006, and we were hoping so. And what had happened was then government bought out the banks because it was a partnership between the banks and government. And government then bought out the banks, and then CEFCON took on these new activities around the rectification and normalization of title deeds and so forth. One of the other things that I suppose we also need to mention is that when CEFCON took on all of this and concerns from the members around why is it selected provinces, CEFCON had signed service level agreements with specific provinces. So while on the original portfolio they were outstanding properties, they had only gone up to sign service level agreements with Gauteng, Eastern Cape and Limpopo, if I'm not mistaken, to do work around rectification and normalization. That there was also, and it states somewhere in their annual report, that the reason why they bought the land was because there was some kind of intention from the executive authority at the time for CEFCON to then move into the HDA. the Housing Development Agency, whose legislation allows them to bank land, which is why first something started buying some of this land. That would then allow them to move in that. The decision then by the executive authority was for first time to not move into that, which is why they sit with the land portfolio, and they're still sitting with the land portfolio right now.
Thank you. But before I give the members, if they do have a second round, do you have any second round? I wanted to comment anything before we proceed. You see, we are fully aware about your input, Chief. But, you know, I'll put another thing which I'll put emphasis on it. Remember, we said we don't prefer cut and paste. We do prefer what is supposed to be presented to us. I mean it, and I'm still correctly so. For an example, you tried to respond to some of the things, but our worry was concerning our line function, because we are from different provinces as well as we are from different constituency offices, where some of the information comes. I'll put an example why I was raising that. Remember, in a minute, you said out of 33,000, we left with only 300 problems to be resolved. Yeah? Then you said after 300, 61 beneficiaries still waiting to sign. I mean, that's what you said. But our question was simple, where, in which province? That was simple. That's why we're saying your response is basically directed to national, to NA. But to us, our interest is more of provinces. And then again, I'll put another example. I've asked you, or we've asked you the issue of the land. And your response is so positive. You said, now, there is a normalizing process of various spaces of piece of land, which you were given by Transnet. That was the response. Nah. But where? Because I don't want to mention the department, provinces. As we are indicating that we are still, we wanted to focus to assist the department. Because sometimes it's a worrying factor. But this one, I'll give it to you. That next time, when we maybe, but we're still good time. It was very much important for you to share with us, but when, in specific. And why I'm raising it, you know, it's very disturbing in some provinces. In particular, I'll put an example in Western Cape, whereby there are still a lot of shacks. While if there was land, we were able to go to the provincial to say, please help us. Help us. Give us that information. You see, I was just putting an example about some of the worries which we're saying. Over to you. I saw you, somebody was showing you something. Can you share with us that information?
Okay, thank you, Chair. My colleague was just telling me some of the places where these land parcels are. The land parcels are mainly in Gauteng, and Gauteng, Eastern Cape, KZN, and few in Western Cape, very few. And but I think I'll leave to my colleague to elaborate more again on this. Yeah.
Chair, I think for the purposes of the committee, I think what we should do is that go back and compile a sort of schedule of all the properties that are in the possession of Transnet, of Servcon, where they are, which areas. In fact, Chair, I mean, what we can do is that I know that
that if you want to, we can couple that with a presentation by the HDA to you, because they've actually got quite a substantial, they've done a substantial amount of work with rural development, public works and public enterprises, and that will dovetail with it. I mean, so with your permission, if I could, I mean, we'll provide you with that comprehensive sort of database and information set. That's okay. There's maps as well on that. The HDA has got that on behalf of CIRCON. Thanks, Chair.
I think that is a mouthful, but I'll comment lastly. Let me give to Mama Tema to say something, because coincidentally, we are sharing the committees as well. That's why we're so eager to get whatever piece of information, Mama Tema.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that will be really helpful. Like, for example, now what you have given us, it looks like there is no Limpopo, there is no Northern Cape. You must give us information from all provinces so that even during constituency period, or maybe if we want to do oversight, even if Mpumalanga is, you know, has been like finalized, we can go there and see whether, you know, whether those houses are there or what, or the properties are there. So give us the whole information. Thanks.
Thank you. Members in the department, I think we are nearly coming to the conclusion of the presentation. It was so short, but as I indicated, that we are fully aware that CIRCON is phasing out, but our interest is to make sure that this thing is processed correctly. So from the heads of department in the department, please, you must bear with us. We are helping you, because if you allow to take fire, next time that fire will burn your hands, because those things will ask them from you. And this exercise of interaction with you, it helps us, and also it is going to help you. Because if you keep quiet that, oh gosh, I'm gay, I'm having this, some of the things will haunt the wrong people, while the relevant people will be gone already by that time. So that's why then we want to question each and every sentence that you ought to be sure when you present it to us. And then with us, to enable us when we debate in terms of our budgets, whatever, we're able to say, yes, that department or that section deserve to have much budget in order to have to be empowered. These are other part of tools of work which we're acquiring from you when we meet with you. But nevertheless, for today, thank you very much, but we'll be heading from you, waiting for that information which we have been requesting, that it must come as soon as possible. Thank you very much. Thank you. I'll request members to remain.
We are done.